everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Six Figure Certified, the podcast powered by IGC Coaching School. So, we're talking about goals. We've been talking about goals all month. January's almost over, so maybe we can move on with our lives. But we've been talking about goals and planning and everything that it takes to kind of get revved up for the year. And one of the things that I wanted to get into this week was kind of around the, like, there's all of these things that I should be doing, like the conversation around should, and then also, what do you actually want and need to be doing in order to get the results that you want? So I was thinking back, I'm not very good at people telling me what to do. Haven't been since I was a child, still not as an adult. And one of the ways that I have been able to work through that, especially in business partnership and having a team, like, you have to be able to take direction. Even as the leader, I have to be able to take direction from the team. I'm now a fiance. I have to be able to take some direction from my partner. These are challenges for me. And the way that I've really been able to rationalize this or wrap my head around this is, you know, not looking at things from the lens of should, or I should be doing this. I should be, you know, getting 10,000 steps every day. I should be more patient with my kids. I should be spending less money. I should be checking my email every day. Should. That it's not helpful. Should takes you out of the driver's seat. It puts you at effect versus at cause. And it ultimately gives me a little bit of flashback or a bad taste in my mouth over how I used to run my life, which was completely based on what everyone told me I should do versus what I actually wanted or needed to be doing in my life to get or create the life that I wanted. So I want to dig into this topic a little bit today of living life on your own terms and really shifting your shoulds into, is this thing that I am saying that I should be doing or that someone is telling me I should be doing really what I want to be doing? And sometimes it's not, but you can also ask yourself, is it what I really need to be doing? Is this what I really need to be doing in order to create the life and the results that I desire? And a little bit of a backstory. I was a feisty little girl. I have a book. I wish I had it right near me. If you are watching this on YouTube, I could pull it up. But I have this little book that, oh my God, I do. I keep this. This is one of the few artifacts I have from my childhood. But I have this little book. If you're not watching on YouTube, come to YouTube. You can see baby Olivia. Okay. Little baby pictures, feisty little baby. This is me right here with this big bandage on my face because I was a little wild child and I fell off my big wheel. So I wrote in the back of this book, which is all about me at the age of 4. I was 4 years old and I have all of these things. My family is, my best friend is, my favorite room is my room. Still to this day, that's where you can usually find me in the house. My favorite color, my favorite food, my favorite number. My favorite letter is I. How Leo is that? And then it says, I am happiest when my mommy lets me do whatever I want to do. I'm saddest when I can't do what I want. Obviously, my parents transcribed this for me as a 5-year-old, but this is a sacred artifact that constantly reminds me that when I was 4 years old, 5 years old, whatever it was, pre-K, I loved my ideas. I loved doing whatever I wanted to do. And it was my favorite thing. And I didn't understand why we couldn't really just do whatever we wanted to do all the time. That was preschool. I know in kindergarten, I voiced my emotions and my opinions quite regularly. I think that happened all the way up until about 5th grade. Oh, poor inner child. I can't pinpoint the exact moment, but I remember things being very different in 5th grade. And instead of being my bold, and I hate to say outspoken because I think I wasn't really outspoken. I just was saying what I thought. I was leadership skills, isn't that what we say? Like bossy little girls aren't bossy, they have leadership skills. But I lost all that. I think because of so much turmoil at home and being shut down so much by my parents and being in a very strict Catholic school, and also just the things that go along with childhood. Like you're so confident in yourself and your ideas, and you're not worried about how you look and all of that. And then you, as you get older, you start getting feedback and information, and you know, why don't you have this cool jacket, or why are your shoes old? Or, and you start kind of just seeing yourself differently or losing confidence. And I think somewhere around that point, I did. And really, that loss of confidence that I started experiencing around middle school stayed with me until I was probably 26 years old. And what that 2 decades looked like for me was designing my entire life around what everyone else told me that I should be doing. So, I mean, it ranged from everything to what you should be wearing, to what you should be eating, to how you should style your hair. Obviously, these are more middle school, high school things. Who you should date, what parties you should go to. I don't know that I had an opinion. I mean, I'm sure I did, but I don't know if I ever voiced it, probably for a good 2 decades. And what I created in my life in those 2 decades was something that I woke up. Ultimately, I woke up one morning, and I've told some of this story more from the business sense and from becoming a coach sense before. In my 26th-ish year of life, and I'm like, what happened? How did I get here? What am I doing? Like, I almost felt like I looked at my life from outside of a snow globe. And it was all shaken up, and the dust was settling, or the snow was settling. And I'm like, who is that? Like, dead ass. Who? I don't even know who created this life. Why am I here? Why am I here in this space, in this classroom, in this city? Did I consciously choose this? And what I start realizing was that I hadn't really. I don't know that I had ever actively chosen much of anything. I was very much making decisions based on what people said that I should do or society said that I should do. And I got to a point where I just like felt like I was living almost in someone else's body. I'm like, who are you? When people would ask me, I think this was like right when online dating started, but it was only like eHarmony and Match.com. And it was like, what do you do for fun? And I'm like, what? I don't know how to answer the question. That still tricks me a little bit, 'cause I'm like, work. Work more. But I at that point, I didn't know. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know why I was in the job that I was in. I didn't know why I was in the city that I was in. It was a very much one of my first existential crisis moments. And there have been others since. So hold on, if you're in your 20s, there's more to come. Season 3, baby. But I had realized after working, with a coach, Katie, of course, that a lot of what I had created in my life was not by my own design. And that was okay. I wasn't mad about it. I was just like kind of in shock. I was kind of in shock. I remember driving home from my teaching job one day, and I went to 7-Eleven and I got a Slurpee. Now, of course, I would never consume a Slurpee now that I know what's in it. But at that point, I was like, I don't even think I'd ever like ventured off of the course that I was supposed to like drive on the way home. Like I was so in autopilot in this life that I didn't even like. And I had done that because instead of making choices for me and looking at, do you want this? Do you need this? And it's not always want. Like I'm not that delusional where I think like, oh, well, if I want it, I can just have it. I actually am that delusional. Hold on. But it's not always instant. And sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. I've used the comparison of like, I do not want to take the trash out. I do it because I need to take the trash out because I like my house to be 99% spotless at all times. And of course, I like it to smell fresh at all times. So do I want to take the trash out? No. But do I need to create the result that I want in my home? Yes. Right. So long story longer, it's a podcast. You're here to listen to me rant. Okay. I just realized I'm living in this life based on shoulds, what I should do. I should get this job. I should move to DC because there's open teaching jobs. I should, you know, date this guy because he has a good job. I should. Who are you? Okay. So this was all going on while I was unhappy at my teaching job. I was finishing my master's. The city of DC and the education stuff was like out of control in the Michelle Rhee era. If you know, you know. If you don't, Google it or just take my word for it. It was crazy. It was messy. It was education reform. And all that to say, all of this was happening. And I realized that I had this opportunity to actually start making decisions for me. And it started with Katie asking me, like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. So it took a lot of inner work. I started auditing every single hour of my day. Did I like that? Did I not? I had to completely rediscover who I was. And it was like I was my own full-time project. And that was a privilege, I will say. And it was also a lot of responsibility because I refuse to be looking at my life from a snow globe again and being like, how did I get here? And why am I here? And what am I doing? It requires such a higher level of consciousness and really looking at like all of the decisions that I had made up to this point were not mine. And there was always this little fighter girl inside of me. And I would get to these breaking points because she was so silenced. I was so afraid of not being accepted by my friends or family or parents or society that I did what I was supposed to do. And it's a battle that I still come up against today. I am very so clear and certain about things that I want in my life. And there's always a voice in my head that says, ooh, that's going to upset somebody. And sometimes we don't always get our own way. That's hard for me. Once you became more self-actualized, that became harder for me to accept. But there are some times when you just have to choose yourself and you have to make decisions based on what you really desire and what you really need, despite what everyone else thinks and despite people being mad at you. And I know you know this, but here I want to get into how a little bit. So you don't have to write down everything that you like and dislike about your day in a journal for 3 months or 6 months straight. However, you could start there. I highly recommend first just eliminating the word should from your vocabulary. Whenever you find yourself, oh, I should go work out. No. Do you want to work out? Yes or no? Okay. Next question. Do you need to work out? Yes or no? You get to decide, but we're not shoulding because shoulding means that you are essentially just following the rules of someone or something else instead of your own autonomy. And that over time is what creates this, who am I and why am I here? I have lost myself type of situation. Okay. So we're language first. Do I want to do this? Do I need to do this? The next thing is like, what do you value? One of the things, we've done this on many of our level two coaching retreats. This is something that I have done in my personal coaching. This is something that I am now doing in my couples coaching. Did you know you can do couples coaching? Highly recommend. But you're identifying your values. It is so helpful when you're making choices. Like, of course, we talk about core values in your business. That's how you're going to make choices for your business. But let's not forget about ourselves, right? So what are those things you value? And maybe you have your core values for yourself and you have your core values for your company. Google core values and you will get lists of them. And, you know, circle your top five. I think more than five is honestly too many. And I'll just say, because I was talking about the couples thing too, like we have to defined our core values for ourselves as individuals, and then also our core values like as a partnership and as a family. And with weddings and real estate and buying a house and moving and schools and da, 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 it's like there's so many decisions. How do we decide? We consider those core values. And just tying this back into the thing, it's like you are trying to grow a business and you're listening to this probably because you're trying to grow a business. And one of the things that we push up against again and again when we set these big goals for ourselves is like, oh, I should be. And just being in that puts you at effect instead of at cause. It almost puts you in this like victim state, like, oh, I should follow up with my leads. No, you need to follow up with your leads if you want to make money, right? Like, oh, I need to follow up with them, or I get to follow up with them. That's another good reframe. But should, just dead it. Dead it. It's a useless word in your vocabulary that does not give you any power. In fact, it just takes your power away. But because the reality is, no one's telling you, if you have your own company, you're in charge. Let's not forget that. I can give you advice. Anybody on the internet or anybody anywhere can give you advice, but you are in charge. You are in charge of that company. You are in charge of what happens today, tomorrow, the next day, the future of the company, and all of it. How do you like that weight on your shoulders, first of all? It's a big one, but is it worth it? Do you want to be doing this? And next, it is a privilege to be able to do this. And it's these type of reframes that you need to absorb daily and say like, wow, I get to do this. I have created a vehicle that allows me to do the work that I love. And no, it's not, I should. It's, I need to do this, or I want to do this because I know that by doing this thing, it's going to create the results that I want. When we're shooting on ourselves, you see what I'm doing there with that? I'm comparing it to shitting on ourselves. I think you all got that. But when we're doing that, it does not make the whole process of business or moving towards our goals any fun, or essentially it doesn't really even make it efficient, which we like efficiency and we like fun. So we're changing our vocabulary, and we are also asking ourselves what our core values are and what our business's core values are, so we can actually decide if these actions that we are supposed to be taking, because we designed them, we chose them, because we are the leader that makes all the decisions, are in alignment with who we are and what we want.
So like I mentioned, the Six Figure Circle is the place to be. If you have been looking online for a community full of people who are aspiring speaker coaches or service providers, are a step ahead of you when it comes to getting things done and building their business, access to business coaches in general, and really need some guidance in this process, the Six Figure Circle is the membership for you. There are at least one, if not two, weekly calls that involve open coaching, guidance around how to scale your business around marketing, sales, back-end systems, finance, mindset, leadership development. On top of that, you have a weekly co-working call that you can pop on with a certified coach as well to have an hour or more dedicated to time to build your business. If you're a mom like me, that's really important because time is not around as often. You also get access to two exercises per month, and that can be either used for yourself when it comes to developing your mindset or business acumen, or for your clients as well if you have a niche that is tied to those exercises or even modified for that. That's free, and they have a guided walkthrough led by ITC coaches. You get access to Hot Seats quarterly with our CEO, Lee Chapman. You also get access to recommended books, recommended worksheets, resources, and then of course a 24/7 active community group on Facebook for you to access on a regular basis to ask questions, get feedback, put your offers in there to potentially gain clients, collaborate with different people in the community overall to do different partnerships, or maybe even find a new business partner. Whatever is present in that space, especially if you are a woman who is wanting to scale to six figures, that space is for you. Now, one of the biggest questions we get is, well, I'm not a six-figure business owner yet, or I haven't made any money in my business yet. Is this space for me? Yes. Oh my God, run to it. When I was first starting my coaching business, the six-figure circle was the space that I was in. And when I tell you, I was in that group every single day, soaking up as much knowledge as I could, asking questions, getting hands-on with people. And also, actually gaining clients because they were seeing my work, they were seeing how I was marketing, they were seeing how I was doing graphic designs, etc. So I would do freelance services and coach other people in the community while I was in it. The Six Figure Circle is the place to be, and right now you can get 50% off your first month if you decide to join. The link is in the show notes below, and if you need to, you can click on it, grab that discount, and dive on in.
The next thing you want to do is actually explore your desires. So are these actions that you are supposed to be taking because you decided to write them down as your milestones or as your daily actions, or they make sense based on your goals? Are these things actually in alignment with the life that you desire to create? Does doing these things bring you closer to the life that you are creating? You need to know that, and you need to remember that. It's almost like finding your why. Again and again and again. There's never too much that we can put into like the being behind our business, because it's the being that moves the business forward. Because if you are not in that right state of mind that says, I get to do this, I need to do this, I want to do this, you're going to not be creating the results that you desire ultimately. The resistance is not sexy. The resistance is palpable. I told you, I know that people know this, but I can feel when someone doesn't want to be doing what they're doing. I can feel weird energy behind an Instagram post. I can feel weird energy in an email, especially with women. Like, we can, it's palpable. You want to be in the headspace of, I get to do this, I want to do this, and I need to do this because it's my calling, and I need to do this because it's important, and I need to do this because my clients need me and they need what I have to offer. And then, of course, once you know your values, once you know what you desire your life to look like, what are those actions that you take? And this is how you get to see that, like, a lot of the things that we should be doing as business owners are actually the things that we want to be doing, that we need to be doing. And the aligned actions are going from, it's almost like they're reverse engineered from what your future life looks like, or what your bank account looks like. I've said this so many times in so many different episodes, but people who are telling me, oh, I want to make $300,000 a year in my coaching practice, I want to make $1 million a year in my coaching practice. Would someone making that level of income be putzing around for 3 hours? Would they be ignoring their daily or weekly commitments? Would they be, you know, sitting on the sidelines and scrolling Instagram, comparing themselves to other people? Would they be ignoring their business plan? Would they be hoping for the best instead of actually outlining a strategic financial plan for the year? Would they be avoiding sending that pitch? Would they be late following up with leads or not following up with them at all? And I'm not trying to shame anyone. I have horrible days sometimes. I try to not make it the whole day. I'm not going to lie. Maybe it's horrible time blocks. I have avoided things before. I am not above any of this human experience whatsoever. Whatsoever. I think the only thing that I've really gotten good at over the past couple of years is being able to get out of that shitty place really, really fast. And I've had to be able to do that. And I think most people who are also caretakers, mothers, have, you know, you're not alone and just have you to take care of. You are forced to do that. I remember when I found out my kid's dad was cheating, I said, wow, I don't have the privilege of curling up in a ball and watching sad movies or being depressed for a week. Like, I have literal diapers to change, two of them at the time, and blessing and a curse, right? And you know, maybe there's more healing that should be done around that. Who knows? But I think sometimes when we have other obligations in our lives, we don't get to just pout around. At this point, I am a one income home still. I am the only person paying the bills and supporting the kids. So I don't really get to, it's so hard not to just curse every 5 minutes. I'm sorry, everyone. I don't get to just mess around all day. Like, I have to get myself together. And the way that I do that is remembering, like, okay, do I value rest? Yeah. But can I rest when I'm done doing these things that I need to do every day? Yes. And it's not because I should be doing them. It's because I want to be doing them. I refuse to be 10 years into this, which I am now, or another 10 years into this and be like, who am I and why am I here? How did I get here? What happened? The other thing about that is like, maybe it's a little bit of a trauma response. I don't know. I'm not a therapist, and I've been to many, but it's like, I had this thing where I could not remember my childhood at all. Like, I can't remember most of it to this day. And I don't ever want to have another huge 2 decades like that in my life. Ever. And so in order to do that, it requires such a higher level of presence and decision. Like, being conscious and making decisions and saying like, okay, Olivia, like, do you want this? Do you need this? What are you doing next? Okay. Deep breath, moving forward. I'm one of the fastest people I know when it comes to getting things done, but I'm also one of the slowest people I know when it comes to like being grounded in it. Like, I will actually, I don't know if this makes sense, but like, you have to slow down to speed up. I have to slow my morning down and say, you know, I know, like, if I have a lot on my plate, I have a lot on my plate today. I can't even get into all of it, but I have to say, like, wow, every single thing that I have to do today is something that I get to do because it's like everything I ever wanted. Like, I have to run this like multi-million dollar company. What? I have to record this podcast. I get to record this podcast. And it's like, I get to pressure wash. I'm not actually doing this, but I'm going to pay someone to do it. My house and my fence, because I get to sell this house. And there's like so many, like, I hate that I can't interact with you all. We need a round table. But I hope that you can see that it's like, instead of ruining the experience of life or ruining the experience of your to-do list in business, reframe these things. Because the reality is, especially when it comes to business, you chose this. This is yours. And so it's never, oh, I should, or oh, I don't want to, or oh, why am I doing this? It's like, wow. I get to do all of these actions that create the life and the result that I want and the business that I want. And I just think that we can never, never forget that. So if you're getting into your business plan, I know we've been talking about that. If you're in this like goal setting mode, if you are feeling stressed because maybe you set the bar really high this year, or you looked at last year and you didn't reach your goals. Okay, just for the record, neither did I. And I am still committed to setting them absurdly high. But boring goals are not for me. I don't remember what I was saying. But if you're in the thick of it, when it comes to goals and when it comes to plans, like, reel it in and slow down for a minute. Slow down for a minute and remember who the heck you are and why the heck you're here. And go back into that power position. You chose this. You get to do this. This is a privilege on your life. It's a gift from God on your life, or a message. That energy is what is going to have you go from, damn, I'm following up with every lead today, versus, meh, I ain't the one. What am I going to say? Okay. So I hope that this message was timely for you. I'm, like I said, human too. So obviously it's timely for me. I didn't think of it. What is it? If you spot it, you got it. You spot it, you got it. Olivia's got it too. I'm up against this right now. Like, you really set these massive, insane goals and are somehow supposed to get married this year, sell a bunch of houses, buy another house, move your kids to a different... Ooh, we don't know. But we're saying, it's all a gift and it's all a privilege. And that is the only mindset shift that allows me to go from like, oh, I'm a victim of this own beautiful life that I created and blah, 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 into I get to do this and I'm going to just kill it. I'm going to kill it. And so are you. So I hope this episode was helpful. Share it with someone who has set insanely large goals this year and who needs to be reminded of who they are and why they matter and why their choices and their desires and their values are really the only thing that they, quote unquote, should be thinking about. And let us know what you think. Leave a comment below. Follow if you're watching on YouTube, which I hope you are because you got to see my cute little childhood photos. And share this podcast with someone who needs it. See you next week.